Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
18 minutes just after 10. We gave you the Sounds of Elevation Worship and Maverick City. Jaira, we are back again with Apostle Anthony Halley, and we say, occupy till I come. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his church to occupy till he comes. Apostle, you were still on that explaining how does business and God go together?
Okay, thank you, Bongile. And to our listeners, good morning. Okay, you know, when Jesus speaks this parable, he is speaking to his disciples about certain things, and he uses a parable to explain a heavenly concept to them. And he uses a term in Luke 19 in the King James Version. He says, "And he called his ten servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come." But when you read in the New King James Version and other translations, you find it says, "Do business until I come." Now, what is profound about this? Sometimes when we read scripture, we miss these secrets that Jesus puts into the Word of God so that we can understand how does he operate. And everybody knows the story that he gave to one 5, he gave to one 2, and the other one 1. But when he comes back, he says, and then he checks out on them, and he says to them, "Show me what you've done." And the one of 5, he produces an extra 5, the one of 2, which is an extra 2. And the one with 1 only produces, he says, he went to go and hide his money away. And Jesus rebukes him because of that. Now, the challenge that we have as church is that if we don't understand that God has called us to trade, he's called us to do business in different aspects, and business is broad. It's not in a specific sense. Usually when people read scripture, they think it's only about ministry, things. Yeah. I maintain something that when we talk about the anointing of God, it's almost like it is separated only to the men of God that are preaching from the pulpit. But the anointing of God, its purpose is for function, that people must function wherever they are, even in the marketplace, their ability to create and to do what God has called them to do. You know, when Jesus speaks to them, he says, "Because you have been faithful with the least thing, I will give you authority over more." Now, what I got from that was simply this. Our faithfulness, you remember last week I spoke about the fact that your work is a place to begin this. That's where you're starting off. But that's not where you end. It's starting you to prepare you for your own business. Mm. But God can't trust you with your own business until you've learned to be faithful with where you are. And if you talk, if we are honest and we talk to people, I used to be involved in business. You speak to people, and sometimes you watch them, how they work, how they treat their bosses, how they work with their colleagues. You ask yourself the question, how will they function in their own business? I remember one of my partners, he came and he had a conversation with my wife about this thing, and he said, "You know, please tell Apostle to come back. We need him." And she asked the question to him, "Did you learn anything while he was there?" And he said, "No, we didn't listen to him. But we realize now that he's gone, we missed something." But taking the principles of the Word of God and applying it to your business will begin to make it flourish in a different way. He said he comes out of a secular world where he worked for a boss, and the moment he stepped into his own business, something happened to him, and he was battling to adjust to that transformation that was taking place. Because it's an elevation to another level. Mm. So if God can trust us with the very least, he can trust us with more. Authority is given in levels. We have levels of authority where we can begin to influence different people. Now, the trust that we, because when you go into your own business, you need to understand something. You are not only busy with yourself, you are busy with other people. And if you didn't treat your own boss properly, here's the problem. You've sown a seed. You've sown a seed. And the seed comes forth and it multiplies. So when your own people or your own workers start to disrespect you, you end up with a challenge and you complain about this because you cannot understand how is it possible that these people don't, I'm so good to them. But you have put certain things into the ground and those things are manifesting again. But the question to many of us, and I think last week we touched a little bit on that, is how do we start our own business? And I think there's so many ways that we can look at it. But when we look at it from the biblical point of view, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I believe if you want to be successful in business, you need to start with God. Don't start with your own mindset. Start with God. What do you want me to do? Because when God has created man, he placed in man purpose. Every single one of us has purpose placed within us. And then our vision is derived from our purpose. It's not our vision that guides our purpose. It's our vision that is derived from the purpose that God has placed within us. So when we begin to look at this, God starts with, it's in the beginning. Too many people talk about starting something. But I've learned over the years that people have a tendency to speak themselves out of doing something. They constantly say things that sounds plausible and it sounds very good to them why they should not. They'll talk about money. They'll talk about where must they go to, where's the venue, all those sort of things. And to me, it's making an excuse. I believe, Sidongile, if we put aside our excuses and say, okay, fine, I'm just going to start now. I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to start. I believe that God is going to guide and God is going to give direction to what you are going to be doing. If we as human beings stop seeing the problem and start seeing the opportunity, you know, business people use a term what they call a SWOT analysis. Yeah, and the reason for the SWOT analysis is to discover your strengths and weaknesses, and the opportunities and the threats. But for every opportunity, there's a threat, whether we like it or not. Your strengths and your weaknesses is an internal thing. It's got to do with you and the people within your business. But your opportunities and your threats lay on the outside. And you've got to look at your opportunities and your threats and look at it in a way that says, what am I going to do about this? Do you remember the story when Jesus says to them, look up, the harvest is ripe,
but the laborers are few.
Now, what is he talking about? He says, and all of us use it in the term of evangelism. But let's twist it a little bit. I'm not going to try and twist scripture, but twist it a little bit. When you look up, the opportunity for business is plenty, but the laborers are few. We have, at this current moment, on a global basis, that 5% of the world have the wealth of the world, while 95% don't have anything. Why is that imbalance? What is the difference between the wealthy and the people that are just normal workers that are trying to make ends meet? I believe there are two things. Number one is our mindsets and our willingness to take the risk. Now, in business terminology, they talk about taking a risk. and calculated risk. But in spiritual terminology, we talk about faith.
Yes.
The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in order to understand that that word substance in that sentence, when you break it down to its root form, literally means the title deeds. So when you say, now faith, the unwavering belief in God and His Word is the title deeds to everything that I am hoping for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I think you know what title deeds are about, and our listeners probably also know. Title deeds are held by people that you owe something to. If you go in and you purchase a house, the house belongs to you, but the bank holds the title deeds.
Until it's paid up.
Until it's paid up.
Yes.
Beautiful. Until it's paid up. Now, here's the question, Sibongile. Really. Who has paid our debts?
Jesus did.
Amen. So if He has paid our debts, our unbelieving and unwavering confidence in Him and His Word is the title deeds to everything that we are hoping for.
Wow.
Does that make sense to
you?
Yes. Now, it shifts our thinking. The church is very easy on talking, preaching, and confessing faith, but don't know how to walk by faith.
Apostle Hali, talking on that, what comes to one's mind is also the systems of the world. The Bible says, be ye not confirmed to the standards of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on into the book of Matthew 10, where he says, behold, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves.
Yes.
So when we go out, there are those ones who are pushing right in the kingdom, who are pushing. They want to do this. They want to stand up, but they get to the systems of and the standards of this world that talk about bribery, for example, that you're not going to get it until you bribe someone, until you pay something. Even getting a license now, you have to bribe someone. So how does the church get catapulted beyond that? Beyond the wolves that the Lord Jesus Christ told us about in the book of Matthew 10, and do not become conformed, but do beyond that, go beyond that, and still fulfill the mandate and still occupy where the world does their own systems. And you know you cannot win if you don't do that system, that kind of system, but you want to do it God's way. How do we get above that?
Now, let me say something to you. When Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he says, Lord, I want you to keep them. Don't take them out of this world, but protect them while they're in the world.
Yes.
Now, what happens with us is if we, what is our core values? What is it that is our core value as believers? How do we walk as a Christian? Now, I'm talking this, I'm saying this to you because in business I've seen it. People have approached us. People have come to my door with stolen stuff. People have come with a whole lot of different things because they think it's an easy way of making a buck. But I told the partners in the business, I said, I want you to listen to me. Number one, if you buy stolen stuff, I don't want to be a part of this business. I said, because it is a point of contact. You are giving Satan access into your life. And that point of contact is going to give him a legal right. It gives him a legal right to accuse you before God. You know, the Bible talks about the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah, who goes before the Lord
and
accusing.
And the word of God says, exactly. So what happens is, we want the blessings or we want God's favor upon our lives. But if we have wrong motives, or we've got dual core values, that when people don't see me, I can still do and get away with it.
Mm.
God sees us.
Hmm.
The difference between us and the world is Christ.
Mm.
One of the things I believe, always believe, and this is part of elevation, is that don't allow the anointing to take you where your character cannot sustain you.
Hmm.
Character will keep you. The more you rise in character, the more God can trust you with much more.
Mm.
Now, I know it's difficult. I know people want something. We have been tempted. We have been pushed to, and I would have to walk away from deals simply because of what type of deal they want to put on the table.
Mm.
Now, I believe before you go into a meeting with anybody, you want to start a business, you want to be involved in business, you must have a deal breaker already in your mind. These are the deal breakers.
Yeah.
If this is offered to me, I walk away.
Sure. So this is where the walk of faith needs to start.
Exactly.
To trusting in the Lord, even beyond the systems of this world, that He will be able to take you through. It doesn't matter what you face. All right.
That is correct. Because God is looking at us all the time and is monitoring our character and our ability to... I'll give you an example.
Mm.
This happened to me in the church.
Mm.
I had a gentleman approach me. When we were in business, he wanted us to do a lot of furniture and things like that because we were in the furniture business. He came to me and he offered me R1 million to put into the church. I turned him down. He came again, he offered me R1 million again. He said, "You're a fool." I said, "It's okay." My answer is simply, I don't respond to you. I don't answer to you. Neither do I answer to my board. I answer to the Lord.
Sure.
And if I've got to come before God and say, "God, why?" And he asked me, "Why did you take that thing?"
Mm.
I've got to have an answer to that thing. Now, it's a difficult one, I know, because sometimes, I remember one of the guys got up and ministered and he said, "This man offered our pastor R1 million, we need the money," and he rejected it. Are you crazy? Do you really think, once you into that, this is a problem that people don't understand. The Bible says we must not be unwise to the wiles of the devil.
Mm.
Now, that word wise, the schemes, how does he scheme? Because Satan will constantly put things in your path to derail you from the purposes of God.
Mm.
You're constantly in business, in life, in ministry, wherever you are. You put things in your path to derail you. It becomes your responsibility to say, "Listen, I've got to navigate past this here. I've got to avoid, as much as it is tempting, I've got to go past this here." Now, I know it's not easy. I know, and I'm not saying it's easy. Everybody, it's just a simple thing because people take for different reasons. And they try to say the means justify the ends type of thing. And it doesn't justify. Because once Satan, I said to you earlier on, once Satan has a point of contact, believe you me, he's coming in. He's coming in and he's coming with one purpose in mind: kill, steal, and destroy. That's all.
Mm. Sure.
We see this all the time. You see this all the time.
Mm.
You see this in politics. You see this in business. You see this sometimes in the church. When people begin to use deceptive means in order to make gain, what happens to them, the end result is not very nice.
Mm.
And then people ask the question, "What happened? We thought this person was like this." No. Go back to the beginning. Go back in the life of that person, where it started, where things were set in place. And you're going to find that people open themselves to something.
Sure. So as you're doing business, it's important to also use discernment, trust in the Lord, Holy Spirit's guidance, pray about it, listen to Him as He talks to you about those that would come and challenges that you'd face? Because, I'm just imagining right within the church somebody saying, Pastor refused to take 1 million rent and the church needs it. That is a challenge right there. And
exactly.
Yeah, everybody looks at you like, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? Why didn't you take the money? You know we need it.
Look, that's the truth. Because people do. You see, I believe most of us want immediate gratification. It must be instant. You pray and instantly God must move. And if he's using these people, you'll start negotiating with yourself and say, maybe God is using these people to bring the money. But that's not the enemy. Remember something. Even when Satan came to Jesus, he tempted Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And then he also tempted him with a word. So we've got to understand the word, to know the word. We've got to be able to discern what is it that God is saying to me.
All right.
How do I deal with this?
All right. Now, Moruti, what if somebody started wrong? And they're listening to us right now. I had to pay some bribes. I had to, and yes, now there's a lot that's happening in my business. And I'm realizing that whilst I was working for someone, I was not loyal. Maybe even taking some things from work to home. And now it's happening to me in my business. People are stealing from me. How can I fix it? Is it fixable? Can I go back to the Lord and fix it? Because now the accuser has more right, as Moruti said, to say, this is mine because of how you started. But we understand the Lord says, it is I who give you the power to get wealth. So I want to go back to the one who gives me the power to get wealth and make right. Is it possible to fix it?
Yes, you can. There's a thing called restitution. And firstly, when you come to God, God is so open to forgiveness that I don't think we fully understand that when the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we repent.
Mm.
He's faithful and just.
Yes.
He will forgive our sins when we repent. So what needs to happen is, first of all, you need to start with repentance. Then speak to the Lord. What do I do?
Hmm.
And let God give you direction on what you actually need to do in order to bring around restitution in this year. Now, the restitution part, I've always believed, it's easy sometimes for us to come to God because we know he's a loving Father.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to come to Sibongile and say, you know what? I did this.
I stole from you. I came to apologize.
And, yeah, and I'm sorry about it. And if I can afford it, whatever I took from you, I'm paying you back. Do you know how difficult that is?
Mm-hmm.
Because it strips away any pride or dignity that you have. But if we think like God is saying and God is doing with us, God is the one that will sustain you because he is watching how we do it. If we're going to follow the directions that the Lord is going to do and directing us in for us to go back and make right with our brothers.
Mm.
Remember the Bible says, if you have anything against your brother,
leave your
to the altar.
Leave
your offering.
Mm-hmm. Go back.
Go make right with him.
Mm.
Then come and give the offering.
Mm.
So even if you say, I did this for the church, God said, go make right, and then come back and do this.
Apostle Hali, more and more, as I'm listening to you, Matthew 7, 13 to 14 becomes much clearer and louder. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. May the body of Christ find it where their businesses are concerned. May we find that way. Fix where we need to fix. Apologize where we need to apologize. Fix with the Lord where we need to fix with the Lord. And start trusting him. to give us wealth, for he's the only one who gives us the power to get wealth.
He's the only one. And believe you me, I believe, Sibongile, that God has no problem with money.
Mm.
Neither does he have a problem with us having money. It's when money has us. So if we understand who God is and how God will work through us, it is Jesus says, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross.
Hey, daily.
Daily, pick up your cross and follow me. And sometimes that cross, it doesn't matter how big or how small it looks, it is a challenge to pick it up and constantly follow the Lord. But when you have hearts that are repentant, remember David, if you look at David, at King David, King David, anointed by God, filled with the Spirit of God, loved the Lord, messed up big time. And when he messed up, he asked, God asked him the question, what do I do? Do you want me to send you to the people or must I deal with you?
He says, it's better to fall into the hands of the Lord.
Lord, I'll fall into your hands. You are merciful. Please, you deal with me. Yeah, maybe that is an answer to some of the people.
Yeah.
That is, they've gone in the wrong direction. Lord, I fall into your hands.
Wow.
You deal with me. You just deal with me and accept that.
Sure.
And let God do the work.
I'm going to ask Apostle to just pray for our businesses and everybody who says, I need faith in this part because things are not easy. Maybe they've done everything right and they are still doing everything right, but they need more faith to remain faithful. And for those who say, my start was bad, I need to take repentance. And I need the Apostle to just present these ones to the Lord. As well, that Lord, may we remain faithful until you come. May we occupy where there's no spot. We should be spotless as we occupy.
Yes.
We should be without blemish as we occupy until you come. Can you just take us in a minute, take us through that prayer where we're praying for brethren in this regard?
Sure. I'm going to read a scripture and then we'll pray, okay?
Yes, sir.
In Obadiah chapter 55, he says, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Without money and without cost, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. He says, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Father, this morning as I come before your throne, I thank you for the privilege and the honor, Lord, to pray over our people, our business people, each and every one of them, Lord God. Father, you know them by name. You know every hair on their heads. You know the challenges that they face. Father, you know the desires of their heart. You know the effort that they are putting in. I pray, Almighty God, that you begin to move on their behalf. Father, where they've messed up, I'm asking you, Lord God, to have mercy upon them. I pray, Lord God, that you will undertake. Give them the grace to overcome. I thank you for your favor that will surround them. And Lord, if they have favor with you, they will have favor with man. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that orders our footsteps. I pray, Lord God, order their footsteps, that they will walk upright before man and before God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you will raise up men and women, Lord God. Raise them up, Father God. Men and women of integrity, Lord God, that will become a beacon of hope to the community and to society at large. That, Father, that people will look to them and understand, Lord, if they could do it, we can also do it. I pray, Almighty God, that you continue to use them. Do not let them give up hope, Lord God. Father God, because their hope must be in you. I pray for those that their businesses are struggling at this particular moment, Lord God. Father, that the Spirit of God will breathe upon them. The word said to Ezekiel, he said, Son of man, prophesy over these bones. So, Lord, I prophesy over every business that is struggling, that doors will open supernaturally, Lord God, that there will be life that will come into those businesses, Lord, as you breathe upon them, Lord, new life. And I give you praise, glory, and honor. And I pray for every one of them, Lord God, that they will come back to say thank you unto the Lord for what he has done, for the goodness of God In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, Apostle, for talking to us and ministering to the family. For those who'd like to be in contact with you, how do they do so?
My number is 064-839-1207.
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat that?
064-839-1207.
Right. Your closing statement to our family members?
Closing statement, in the beginning, God.
In the beginning.
Start with God. Start with God. Just start with God. Let him guide you.
Amen to that. Start with Amen. God. Thank you so much, yes. Apostle, for ministering. Yes. May God awesomely keep you. And thank you so much for giving us more time than we thought we would have with you. Sorry for all those technical issues, but we're hoping next time all will go well. Have a beautiful one.
You too, Sibongile, and to our listeners, God bless you all.
Bye. Bye now. And family, do remember that the numbers for Apostle Anthony Harley, 064-839-1207.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.